Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Jake, wow indeed. Royals win. Not bad. Royals didn't just win. The Royals crushed Chicago. White Sox didn't help themselves all that much, but the Royals, in all facets, proved to be the superior ball club tonight, winning 10-1, and they moved back to within a game of 500. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. If you were one of the near 11,000 brave in the cold tonight at Kauffman Stadium, give me a call, 913-586-7610. Julio, can we go in there right now? All right, let's head inside the Royals clubhouse right now. Kind enough to join us is the offensive star in this 10-1 drubbing. It's Nelson Velasquez. Nelson, can you hear us?
Excuse me. I can't hear it.
All right, man. I appreciate you dialing us up, man. You look at the night tonight, RBI single to put the boys on top in the second inning. You homer in the fourth. And in the seventh inning, you draw the walk that opens up that 8-run seventh inning. How good did you feel offensively tonight?
Hello.
Hey, Nelson, you got me?
Yes, I got you now.
All right, man. Great game tonight. Royals win 10-1, and you're at the center of it. The star offensively, you put them on the board in the second inning, you homer in the fourth, and you jump-started that 8-run seventh inning with your one-out walk. How good are you feeling right now with the dish?
And I'm feeling great. You know, just taking my best at bat to put the team in the board. And to me, there's nothing more important than give the team the lead. And, you know, I always be in the board with my hit, homers, walk. I think those at bat I've been taking are really great. And, you know, nothing better than put my best job at the plate for the team.
How about coming off that game last night? A five-hour rain delay. You guys get home a lot later than you were expecting. How nice is it to flush that loss last night with a game like this?
Man, you know, either way, it's raining or not, I have to stay positive. I have to stay positive and get ready for the game. Never know if you're going to play or you're not, but at the end of the day, we played the game. We was on the lead on the eight, and then they score. They win the game, but we came back today positive against White South, and we win this game.
So what's the clubhouse like after a win here at Kauffman Stadium? How do you guys celebrate?
Man, we celebrate like just talking. We pick the best, the player of the game and the pitcher of the game, and then they just said what they had to say, and then, you know, to motivate the other players and get ready for tomorrow.
What'd you think of Seth Lugo's 6 2/3 innings of one-run baseball?
Man, he's been trying really good. Some spring training, when I see him throwing that last game, I said, he's nasty. He's going to he get it. And he's been showing us that he can go over there, throw six, seven innings. Maybe 8 innings, and if we score, we have a lot of chance to win games.
Nelson, final thing for you. Tell the people, what are your goals this season?
My goals are always the same. Hit 30-plus homers, win games, and win the division, go to the playoff, win a championship.
Love it. Nelson, great job tonight. Go back in the clubhouse, enjoy it with the boys. We appreciate you calling us up.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Nelson Velasquez, one of three Royals with multiple hits tonight as the boys drub the White Sox by 9 runs tonight. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Let's start off in Lee Summit. Daniel, you're hitting leadoff tonight. Go ahead, buddy.
What's up, Vern? What a game we had tonight, man. I mean, just beautiful out there. Nelly Nukes. Where can I start with Nelly Nukes, man? He came in here from Chicago last year, and he started hitting bombs. And I was like, there's no way he keeps this up. Nelly Nukes dropped one over my head tonight, Vern. I saw that coming in. I'm like, no way he did. Nelly Nukes dropped one in the fountains, baby. I mean, just unbelievable. And then Vern, MJ Melendez, he's out here. MJ Melendez is him. MJ Melendez said, nuh-uh, guys, you guys can't do without me. MJ put that bad boy. Oh, my God, he hit that meatball 420-something feet. It was beautiful, Vern. I'm just so fortunate that I was able to say that I watched these Royals really kick some White Sox butt tonight. It was beautiful, man. And I got one more thing to say. Bobby Witt Jr., I have my children, please. Please, I love you, Bobby.
I don't think that's how it works, but
hey, I can.
Hey,
I can
man,
ask,
I dig
so.
It. I dig it. I appreciate the phone call, Daniel. Thank you very much. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. Nelson Velasquez, his 16th home run in just 45 games since joining the Royals. That goes back to August 10th. Only Aaron Judge has more home runs in the American League than Nelson Velasquez. 21 of his 36 hits as a member of the Royals have gone for extra bases. He was the offensive star tonight. Man, there's so much to like in this game tonight. Nelly Nukes, man, listening to him there when I asked what his goals are for 2024, he said hit 30 home runs, win games. And then he took a long pause. I'm like, is he going to say crush beers? Because if so, he's my favorite player. But then he said, no, win the division. MJ Melendez, as Daniel says, is him. MJ, since the All-Star break last year, he's just continued into 2024. That OPS of 855 since last year's Midsummer Classic, a batting average of 278. And as far as Bobby Witt Jr., I don't think he's going to be able to fulfill your desire. But on the baseball diamond, whatever you wish is his command. He can do everything and anything out there. And he did on the base paths and defensively tonight. Yes, he was on base three times. Yeah, okay, sure. He's been on base three times in four of the first seven games this season. But the offense isn't what impressed me tonight. What impressed me tonight was the pitching and defense. 913-586-7610. The foundation of any good team is pitching and defense. You know that. Seth Lugo allowed at least one base runner in six of his seven innings. But he was able to execute big pitches, and he was willing to utilize the defense behind him to the tune of four double plays, including Hunter Renfroe gunning out. You know what? I don't even want to call out the base runner. That's on the third base coach. I know you White Sox didn't play yesterday. You got rained out. How did you not see what Hunter Renfroe did last night in Baltimore? How are you testing Renfroe in a one-run game? It's a 2-1 Royals lead in the top of the sixth inning. And they're trying to get Gavin Sheets to score on Hunter Renfroe's arm in shallow right? Okay, thank you. But Bobby was sensational defensively. A couple of beautiful plays at short, starting a couple of key double plays. Kyle Isbell in center field. Now, pitching and defense won this game. And the offensive stars, man, the offensive stars tonight were not the usual suspects. It wasn't Bobby, Salvi, and Michael. It was Nelly. It was MJ. It was Adam Frazier and Kyle Isbell. No, you can really stretch out on this post-game show. We're having a good time tonight. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Joey over in St. Louis. Joey, you're on the post-game show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, good to see you. You know, I'm from St. Louis, so the Cards, we had their home opener today. And, you know, to tell you, Vern, I had to deal with a lot of obnoxious St. Louis Cardinal fans today. But, oh, man, it made up for it. I had to suffer all through it today, but it made up for it just watching the game and, oh, just seeing this well-oiled machine and then, you know, hearing, coming on the post game and hearing all this. And I'm not going to repeat everything you said. You know, you said it real well, but, man, it's awesome. I was thinking yesterday after you were talking, you know, I think a couple pre-games ago you said we just want to win one over the Orioles. And it stinks because, you know, we dropped two off no-hitters. But, you know, this team, it's a nice – it's like a suit, you know. It's like a real nice suit. And the problem is that, you know, you can have a nice suit, but if you got a lot of wrinkles on it, you got a stain, it's still going to look like crap. Right. And today what we saw is we got out the steam press, we got out the iron, and we, you know, we ironed those creases out. And after that, man, we look good. We look damn
looking
good,
sharp.
Burn.
Right.
So thanks for pointing the things out, thinking of me on the show. Real proud to be a Royals fan in St. Louis tonight.
Well, way to hold it down. Way to represent, Joey. You know you're always welcome on this show, buddy. That opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. Bobby Witt Jr. hasn't finished a game as a big leaguer at or above 500 since the 10th game of his career. He'll have a chance tomorrow. Royals White Sox game two, Brady Singer on the bump. Let's go to Jason, who's listening out in the state of Washington. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call, man.
Yes, sir.
You hit the nail on the head, man, pitching and defense. I just love this team, how resilient they are after coming off, you know, those two losses in Baltimore. But,
yeah,
man, I can't remember how long it's been since we've had top to bottom this good of starting pitching. I can't remember when, but just, I'll listen offline, but, what are your thoughts about Hunter Renfroe? I like his defense, but I don't know. Is his bat suspect right now? But I'll listen offline and thanks for all you do, Vern. Love you, man.
All right. Love you too, man. Appreciate you listening. Renfroe tonight, 1-for-3, a run scored and a walk in that 8-run, 7th inning. Yeah. The defense has obviously been on full display for the past two nights. A pair of outfield assists for Hunter Renfroe. He now has 66 outfield assists since 2017. That's by far the most in Major League Baseball. Offensively, sure, coming off a down year, but also a strange year. That Angels clubhouse was strange, and then the transition to Cincinnati. Man, I got no issue throwing Hunter Renfroe's 2023 in the gutter, the same way we do with Brady Singer. There's an explanation behind it. Some can call it an excuse. I think it's an explanation. You look at Hunter Renfroe in Milwaukee 2 years ago, 3 years ago in Boston. Shoot, you can even take a bigger step back. This guy's run into 20 home runs, had 50 extra base hits in each of the last six full seasons. That's a track record. 1 week into the season, 3 weeks into the season, I'm still going to lean on the track record. We get to the end of May, and you got an OPS in the 600s. Okay, then we can start saying, okay, well, the past is the past. What matters is 2024, and you're not getting the job done. But right now, 7 games, he's played in what, 5, 6? I'm still going to lean on that track record. So appreciate the phone call. Thanks for listening out there. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Royals win 10-1. Bobby Witt Jr. defensively, third inning, he got a little ahead of himself. You know, Andrew Benintendi's at the dish. Defensively, they're shifted. And he kind of rushed a ground ball off of the bat of Andrew Benintendi. He saw he was going to have to take the ball to second base himself. Because of the shift, right? Nick Lofton wasn't going to get to second base in time. So he rushes it. Doesn't make the play. But he gets another chance 2 pitches later and plants his body in front of a 102-mile-per-hour grounder off of the bat of Yoan Moncada. Knocks it down. Picks it up. Gets to the bag and makes a throw to first to finish off Seth Lugo's third inning of work. Bobby did it again in the 4th inning, made another sensational play. He's lined up again towards the second base bag in the 4th because you got a lefty hitter and Shoemake at the dish. But Shoemake kind of
skims the top of the ball, and it rolls to the 5.5 hole between the shortstop and the third baseman. So Bobby's got a lot of ground to cover. He's at short, right, but he's lined up closer to the second base bag than he is where you normally line up at short, so he's got a long way to go. Makes the pick, a quick transfer, a 72-mile-per-hour rope with his momentum carrying him into foul territory. Throws a rope across his body to get Shoemake at first for the second out of Seth Lugo's fourth inning. And again, keep in mind, these are big defensive plays because, you know, third inning, it's bases loaded, one out. Bobby gets out of it with that double play, helping out Seth Lugo. When he makes that play in the fourth inning on Shoemake, it's two on, one out. Pitching and defense, man. It's the name of the game. 913-586-7610. Now, that's not to dismiss what the offense did, especially Nelson Velasquez. He comes up with a big hit. Man in scoring position with one out in the second inning, scoreless game. And he puts a nice swing on a front door slider from Mike Soroka to make it 1-0 Royals. And then in the fourth, he jumps a full count fastball. Soroka tried to come in his kitchen, and he paid for it 429 feet over the left field wall. Royals win 10-1. We go to Lucas, who's leaving Kauffman Stadium. Lucas, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
All right, just arrived, so listening to the show. I'm going to bring up, dude, and his usage, Jordan Lyles. He's now been used, and I believe the other comfortable win against Minnesota was his other usage, also on the ninth. Just wanted to bring that up. I haven't seen anything about that. Struggled last year a lot. There were a lot of jokes about everything. Lost a spot to Marsh, well-earned for Alec Marsh, but we've been using him well. Lyles looked really good today. I didn't love the walk. Everyone has a walk. Who cares? It was one inning in the ninth in an 11-10-1 game, whatever. But I just really think it's a good idea by Q and the pitching coaches, pitching everything to get Lyles in the ninth in that kind of situation, get him confidence, but not risking anything. No high leverage situations just yet for Jordan Lyles.
Yeah, you could say the same thing about Matt Sauer as well. Jordan Lyles, a veteran. Matt Sauer, a rookie. No doubt. It's easy to manage a bullpen when you find yourself up by 9 runs, no doubt about it. Thanks, Lucas. Let's go to Brett in Prairie Village. Brett, you're on 610 Sports Radio.
Hey, Vern, appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Small sample size across the board, good and bad. I'm optimistic. Let's all be optimistic. Bobby Witt lifted late in the game. Anything other than just keeping a couple innings off his legs?
That's it. I didn't ask anyone, but that's my assumption. I have no reason to believe otherwise.
Perfect. Hey, appreciate all you do.
Yeah, no problem. He was a part of that 8-run seventh inning. He drew a walk. He came around to score. So at the end of that seventh inning, Royals are up, 10-1. It's got to be hard to get Bobby Witt Jr. out of the lineup. Like, it's got to be hard as a manager to not write his name in the lineup. So, yeah, if you can steal an inning or two here or there to maybe save yourself that terrible feeling of filling out a lineup and not putting one of the 5-10 best players on the planet in there, yeah, if you can save a few innings, do it. But again, that's my assumption. I have no reason to believe that Q wouldn't bring it up in the postgame show. The Royals wouldn't inform us if it was anything other than we're housing these clowns, so let's get the boss out of the game. Let's go to Steve in Kansas City. Steve, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Josh, for taking my call. First-time caller. I've listened to you for years. I got to be honest with you. The first two games, first of all, I'm really excited about this starting pitching. Phenomenal starting pitching. The run production the first two games was lacking, as we all know, but now bats are heating up. I'm really excited about this ball club. First time in a long time. And I just want to also give a shout out, because a lot of times I'm having to listen to the game on the road. So I want to give a shout out also to the Royals broadcasting system. Those announcers are really painting that picture for me, and let's go Royals.
Nice. Yeah, broadcasters do a great job. Eric Guthrie does a great job producing, working his tail off. Yeah, they do. And it's everywhere. I would think you're getting it, especially if you're driving a lot. It's a huge network. And don't forget, if you live in the Kansas City area, you're not near a radio, but you have your phone with you, you can listen to Royals games on your phone. Just download the Audacy app, AUDACY. Listen to the games live. If you're in the 610 Sports Radio listening area, you can listen to the game on your phone. And then the Audacy app, that's where you get the post-game show podcast. That's where you get The Drive and Cody and Gold, Fesco in the Morning, all of your favorite shows from 610 Sports Radio. Royals win 10-1. I did want to ask this, because I saw Eric Hosmer tweet during the game, "I'm a fan of Michael Garcia," something along those lines, or "this kid's got it." You know. What does Michael Garcia's ceiling look like to you? A caller brought up, "Hey, do we need to start thinking long-term contract with Michael Garcia?" Someone brought that up the other day, and I kind of dismissed it. What does his? Do I need to reconsider that? As if I have any power over it, but do you think I need to reconsider that? I mean, he's only, what, a month and a half, 2 months younger than Bobby Witt Jr., older than Bobby Witt Jr.? He's 24, just turned 24 in the beginning of March. Yeah, a month ago, turned 24. 913-586-7610. It seems like everyone is descending on the Michael Garcia bandwagon. 913-586-7610. What do you project him to be? Does he remind you of someone from the past? Royals win 10-1. We'll get your answers after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Breaking ball lifted down the right field line toward the corner. Fletcher sprints. He can't get there. It drops in, base hit. Velasquez is in. Here comes Renfro around third. Throw went to second. Relay to the plate. Not in time. Renfro slides in safely. A two-run single for Kyle Isbell. The Royals tack on in the bottom of the seventh. It's 4-1 at Kauffman Stadium.
A two-run single from Kyle Isbell there in that eight-run seventh inning. Immediately followed a single from Adam Frazier. Those two swings that those lefties put on Garcia, the righty reliever for the White Sox, that was 0-2 to Frazier. Now, that was a curveball up. Right, Frazier was a curveball up, Isbell a changeup down, but still just both put very nice, easy swings on those off-speed offerings and just guided the ball into right field. If you miss the eight-run seventh inning after a flyout from MJ, back-to-back walks from Velasquez and Renfro are followed by that guided single into right field from Adam Frazier, the two-run RBI knock that you just heard Jake Eisenberg highlight. That made it 4-1, and then Michael Garcia falls behind 0-2, puts a beautiful swing on a fastball, puts it in right field for an RBI single. Bobby walks. Vinny flew out to right, and then Salvi hits what should have been an easy inning-ending ground ball right to the shortstop, but it goes through the five hole, and it's a three-run error as Bobby comes all the way around from first. On that error to the shortstop. Easier said than done. I mean, shortstop needs to make the play, but I would like to think that Benintendi or Robert are going to be there to back it up somewhat quickly. How does Bobby score from first on that play? Regardless, Moments later, MJ Melendez blasted his first home run of the season, and as our caller put it earlier, it was a meatball, a full count meatball to MJ Melendez, and he gobbled it up, 421 feet, putting the Royals ahead 10-1. That would be our final score. My game notes following this drubbing of the White Sox are presented by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. If you missed it, Nelson Velasquez was nice enough to call in. Nelly on base three times tonight. He only did that once last year with the Royals. Seven games in, he's already done it. Put him on the board with an RBI knock in the second, hit a solo bomb in the fourth, and then started the rally in the seventh with that one-out walk. Let's go to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. Darren Osawatomie, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
What's going on, Vern? So I just wanted to make a couple points real quick. That first off, this starting pitching is by far the best I've seen in years. As a former college pitcher, I mean, it's great seeing this pitching, and it's fantastic. And then as far as Mikel Garcia is concerned, holy crap, that kid can hit. I mean, I just haven't seen it. I mean, besides Bobby Witt Jr., anybody special is Mikel Garcia. So, I mean, besides that, those are the two points I just wanted to point out, just that fantastic pitching, starting pitching from the past seven games, and Mikel Garcia just starting the season off hot. Fantastic. But I'll just listen off air, Vern.
No, great points. Thanks for adding, man. I need that. Thank you, Darren. Yeah, Royals starting pitchers through seven games have given up seven runs in 44 innings. That's an ERA of 1.43. Nobody has more quality starts. Six quality starts, but the Royals starting staff has given this team a chance to win all seven games. Yeah, it's impossible to highlight that too much. It's impossible. You have a chance to win every single game. Guys, how many times? And we're seven games in, and you know, I made the joke last night. It's great, but they got to do it like 29, 30 more times. Not to a 1.43 ERA. I'm talking about give your guy a chance to win. Now, that was the thing last season that, you know, first half of the year you were thinking, okay, Greinke's going to give us five innings and a chance to win. Thank God. But it's only five innings. And then who else is going to give us a chance to win? Who else do we feel confident is going to give us a chance to win? It just barely happened last year. You're seven games in. Everyone has given you a chance to win, which is why throughout spring and you know, once ownership in the front office went that extra mile and brought in Michael Wacha, that's when I knew they were serious. Serious about competing. In 2024. Because just those names, Wacha, Lugo, Reagans, Singer, whoever was the number four was the best number four this team has had in 8 years. I've always said I thought this was the most stability a Royals rotation has had since 2016. So everyone's searching, oh, when was the last time we've had a rotation? I've never felt so... Yeah, it's 2016, 2014, 2013. Those rotations always stand out to me. 2016 was the best year Ian Kennedy, first year of Ian Kennedy. Yordano Ventura, Danny Duffy's breakout year, Edinson Volquez. Now, 2013, of course, when you had Guthrie and Irvin Santana, James Shields. 2014, still with James Shields. You had that summer to remember from Danny Duffy, the breakout of Yordano Ventura. So 13, 14, 16, those rotations stand out. Of course, the championship rotation, but we don't... You know, Cueto was at the end. Yeah, 2016, it's been 8 years since you get in the car, drive to Kauffman Stadium, and feel pretty good about your starting pitcher. Most nights. You know, my thought was this rotation's going to give you a chance to win 4 out of every 5 games. Not that you're going to, but they're going to give you a chance. Well, sometimes giving you a chance means we gave up 5 runs, but we're still in the game. It's a 5-3 game when the starter leaves. It's not always quality starts. It's amazing what they're doing so far. It's unbelievable what these boys are doing. But if you're given a chance to win 4 out of every 5 games, you got to think one of them you'll win running away. No, one of them you'll probably lose in tough fashion. It'll get away from you late. Maybe the bullpen coughs it up. And then there's going to be 2 games that are up in the air. Those jump ball games. Those other 54 that we talk about so very often. You can't say enough about this starting rotation. Because the Royals have been tied, have led, or were within 1 run of their opponent heading into the 8th inning in every single game this year. Tied, in front, or down by 1, heading into the 8th inning in every single game this season. Should they be better than 3-4? Sure. If you want to say that to make yourself feel better, whatever. But they're surviving. My goal was maintain through May. Survive in the deep end. Get yourself to June and July. Because if you can maintain through May, I have no reason to believe you won't be able to maintain through July. And then we're talking about August baseball. And we haven't really talked August baseball since 2016? 2017? Exactly. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Nate over in Springfield. Nate, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking my call. Love your stuff as always. Great to come off of a kind of a thumping tonight. Kind of a don't have to worry about the outcome of the game because they were up by so much. It was great. Yeah. You had mentioned before last break, wanted to talk about Michael Garcia. He has turned into, at least through 7 games this year, into like an ideal leadoff hitter. He is driving the ball more, and with his speed and with obviously his great defensive ability, him adding that power aspect and the extra base hits is incredibly refreshing to see. And I know that the gentleman that was on before talked about him and the starting rotation, but of course, as you said 2 or 3 times, you can't say more about how well the starting rotation is pitched, right? Because we have not seen the effectiveness that they've had like this so far. It's been so fun to watch, and I know they're 3-4. They should be 5-2. Is what it is. The only thing that I want to leave you with, if you want to build off of it, should we be a little bit worried about Vinny batting 3-hole and grounding out to 2nd 3 times a game? That's the only other thing I have. But thank you, Vern. I'll listen off air.
I appreciate the phone call. Worried? Certainly not. I'm not worried about Vinny Pasquantino. I think he, during the season opening series against the Twins, it looked to me as if he was thinking too much out there. And I think in spring he really didn't have his timing, so maybe it's still a little bit of that. But honestly, I think Vinny's one good night away, one line drive over the second base bag, one line drive over the shortstop's head away from it all locking back in. I mean, I've talked about it a lot. You know, when a guy's on a new team, like a Hunter Renfroe or an Adam Frazier, Garrett Hampson, you know, whether you're a veteran or a rookie, I mean, I don't care. If you're on a new team, and this is a great team, as far as the clubhouse and the kind of guys, the character of men inside that clubhouse, men and women. It's a great clubhouse. But from the guys I've spoken with, big leaguers in the past, you don't really feel right in the jersey until you've been a key piece to a victory. Until you've been at the center of that post-game celebration in the clubhouse. Nelson Velasquez was just talking about it with us. We take our player of the game, we take our pitcher of the game, and they say something, get the boys going, get the boys ready for the game tomorrow. Until you're at the center of that, or at least, even if you just feel like I'm at the center of that, I was one of the players of the game that we won because of me. I made that big play. I got those high fives. That's when you put that Royals jersey on and you're like, all right, yeah, this is me. I'm a Royal. You feel a part of the team. I think when you're coming off injury, that same thing can happen. Where you want to contribute. That's all it is. If it comes across like I'm saying guys are selfish and they want the notoriety or the attention, that's not it. No. You just want to contribute to a win. Now you're happy even if you go, Vinny went 0-for-4 tonight. They win 10-1. I guarantee Vinny's partying. Vinny is having a good time. Vinny's in the right mindset. I promise you all that. But he'll be able to tap into, in my opinion, a next level when he contributes to that win, when he can lock it into gear and say, oh, okay. When he can have that moment like MJ had tonight. When he can have the moment like we saw Michael Garcia have a few of already this season. Now give him that line drive to left center field. Let him pull one over the right field wall. And I think the undeniable hitting machine that is Vinny Pasquantino will indeed return. And honestly, hitting him third right now between Bobby and Salvi, you'd think he'd get a little bit more cheese. See a little bit more to hit. So no, I got no issue with it. I mean, the only other option would be to flip him and MJ Melendez. And I'm certainly not ready to do that. Vinny's still a terrific AB. 913-586-7610. So no, not worried about Vinny Pasquantino. Phone lines are open for you. Let's go to Phil and Shawnee. Phil, you're on the postgame show as the boys win 10-1.
Thanks, Vern. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's start from at the Sublime. The Sublime would be a 1.43 ERA. Over seven games by the starters. That's sublime. Let's now move to the ridiculous. Bobby Witt Jr. has 25 total bases in seven games. That means he's on pace to get to 450 total bases
wow.
by game 126.
Wow.
The major league record for a single season of total bases is set by a guy named Babe Ruth in 1921, and it was 457 total bases. Bobby Witt Jr. is on pace to obliterate that record. And while you're saying, well, that's ridiculous, he can't possibly keep it up. If he keeps hitting the ball at 111 miles an hour,
oh my God.
Exit velocity, you never know. It's something to keep track of. You think the 56-game hitting streak is a crazy record. Think of 457 total bases in a season. That's insane. And again, he's on record to obliterate that record if he stays healthy and keeps smashing the ball.
Great call. Good stuff, Phil. Thank you very much. Bobby legs out another hustle double. Third inning, two outs. Royals lead 1-0. Bobby hits a 113-mile-per-hour ground ball into left center field. And the moment it leaves his bat, he's thinking two. Again, this thing is cooking at 113 off the bat. So this isn't just some dribbler into the outfield that Luis Robert and Andrew Benintendi are descending upon. This thing was smoked out there. You know Luis Robert can run. You know Benny's a good defender, but Bobby tests him out of the box 7.87 seconds home to second base. Bobby's hitting .429 on the season. Tonight was his fifth multi-hit game. We've played seven. He has 5 multi-hit games and an OPS near 1,400. No doubt about it. Dude special. Let's stay in Shawnee. Let's talk with Max. Max, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Vern?
What's up, dude?
Thanks a bunch for having me on. Listen, first trip out to the K tonight. I just kind of wanted to hand over my assessment and let you speak on it. But obviously, we all know Bobby Witt Jr.'s talents were on full display tonight. I think it was third or fourth inning. Makes a bit of an error on a tough ground ball, and allows the single. But very next play, comes back with, you know, falling to the dirt, trapping the ball, tossing it to two. We end up rolling it for a double play, inning over. I mean, I understand why we signed the deal with him or allowed him to sign. But, I mean, phenomenal effort tonight from the fellas with the bats as well. Nelson Velasquez, very refreshing to see that guy come through. I mean, we knew it was just sort of a matter of time for him. He's a nails veteran and hope to see the same for the rest of the year. Obviously, Mikel Garcia, historic start to the year. I really hope we can see that consistently out of him. I mean, end of last year was encouraging, and he seems to be carrying that over. And, you know, I don't know. I really like what we've got going on with the starting rotation.
Sure.
I think, you know, I'm not ready to give up on that bullpen, especially Will Smith with almost 120 some saves on the docket. Not ready to give up on him through 7 games. You know, very encouraging things so far throughout the year. You know, this is a good start, and this is something we can, you know, as a team build on. Who knows down the road?
Yeah, they got to get one more. Got to get one more, man. I appreciate the phone call. I'm glad you had a good time. Way to brave the cold tonight, Max. 60 degrees at first pitch. That did not last long. It was chilly out there tonight. Yeah, as far as Mikel Garcia, I went into the last break asking you, what does his ceiling look like? You know, who does he remind you of? How crazy are we willing to get with the projections for Mikel Garcia? 1-for-5 tonight with an RBI single in the 7th. He came around to score on that 3-run error by the White Sox shortstop. Text line 913-586-7610. From the 620, Vern, he's Alcides Escobar with a good bat. Okay. 913-586-7610. Got a text here from Ryan in Olathe. Vern, I was at the game. It was incredible. I'm not trying to bring the mood down. Bobby's incredible. But do you think he's too aggressive on the base paths? No. No, I don't. Now, he'll acknowledge. He brought it up every chance he had. Got thrown out too much last year. 15 caught stealings last year for Bobby Witt Jr. That was most in Major League Baseball. Tonight he gets caught stealing for the 3rd time this season. That's also most in Major League Baseball. Now, when you're one of the 3 fastest players in the sport, I've always been one to say if you're not getting thrown out on occasion, you're not being aggressive enough. Here's what I'll say about Bobby. You're now, on average, not this year, but if you take the duration of his contract, it's on average about $26 million. We all understand what market we're in Kansas City. And for as aggressive as this offseason was, for as much money as John Sherman and that ownership group paid out to free agents, more than $100 million. Nobody's more important than Bobby Witt Jr. to the long-term viability of this team and this franchise. They've now invested or plan to invest near $300 million into Bobby Witt Jr. That is a very valuable 23-year-old, 24-year-old. I want you aggressive, but I need you healthy. I want you stealing bags, but I need those fingers and thumbs and your wrists and your ankles. I need you to take care of yourself. Health is of the utmost priority. You got to play like a, you know, bat out of hell out there. But when it comes to, because he always has the green light. But when you're deciding to go, man, I need you to have a higher success rate. So I guess I agree with you, Ryan. But hey, you know what? To the previous caller that was asking about Vinny Pasquantino, here's a great way to get Vinny going. Let Bobby get on base and mess with the pitcher. Maybe you leave one over the middle of the plate, and that's what unlocks Vinny Pasquantino offensively. So I understand what you're getting at. Certainly it's something to keep an eye on. But no, I'm still... Bobby, it's up to you. If you got the feeling, if you got the read, go for it. That's still my approach. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Let's go to Kathy, who's out in Los Angeles. Kathy, nice to hear from you. Go ahead.
Hey Vern. I know it's only been like the first week of games, but when was the last time we've had a Royals player on one of the on the top 10 power hitters in the league? Bobby Witt Jr. is number 3.
And oh, MLB.com's best hitters in the sport. Yeah, no, that's somewhat new, and they've never had somebody on that.
And then they just released a 2024 MLB breakout starts. We have 3 Royals on that, Pasquantino, Garcia, and Reagan.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that was more than a few dozen MLB execs were asked by Mark Feinsand of MLB.com who's going to have a breakout season. Gunnar Henderson was the top vote getter, but Vinny was second. And then, yeah, Cole Reagans and Michael Garcia were 3rd and 5th, respectively.
Exactly. And so I'm kind of glad we're playing the White Sox at this particular point in time because they're not a great team. And I'm hoping that's going to help jumpstart our hitters since, you know, sometimes that's all you need is one little push, and then the bats just break open.
Yeah. Yeah, let's hope. Again, yes, Chicago looked awful tonight. You have this many base runners, you had that many opportunities against Seth Lugo, and you were unable to capitalize, the leadoff man on in the second. 3 base runners in the 3rd, bases loaded, 1 out in the 3rd. 2 on, 1 out in the 4th. You know, leadoff walk comes around to score in the 6th. You have runners on the corners with 1 out in the 6th inning, and you don't push any more across. Yeah, offensively, defensively, a 3-run error from their shortstop. You know, Mike Soroka, congrats, man. Way to make it back to the big leagues. Props to you. 6 innings of 2-run baseball. I got nothing negative to say about him. That bullpen, though, good God almighty. 3 walks in that 8-run 7th inning from Chicago relievers. No doubt about it. Chicago looks to be the cellar dwellers in the American League Central. Certainly looks that way the first week of the season as they now sit 1-5. But win one more, and then we can laugh at the White Sox. Then I understand your point, Kathy, and it's on point. You're right. Yeah, hey. And Kansas City knows all about the get-right team. Royals have been the get-right team far too often over the past decade. You know, where your teams drop 5 of 6, your offense is kind of slumping, but then you come to Kansas City and feast on their pitching. Yeah, maybe Chicago is the get-right team. I hope so, Kathy. We've seen Velasquez. MJ's been pretty solid since day one. as has Michael and Bobby. You know, Salvi's been rolling of late. But shoot, big couple of plate appearances from Adam Frazier, Kyle Isbell with that beautiful swing in the seventh inning. Hunter Renfro on base twice tonight. Maybe you get right over this weekend against the Chicago White Sox. 913-586-7610. That's the phone number. That's also the text line number. 913-586-7610. Text here from, where's this coming from? The 928? How about Michael Young for a comparison for Michael Garcia? Man, if only. Boy, that I'll sign. Yeah, I think obviously we would all sign up for that. I'll tell you what, the what you saw last year from Michael Garcia, the willingness to go the other way, the egoless approach offensively, the high IQ, the soft hands, the strong arm. Yeah, I like that Michael Young comparison. I'll tell you this, if Michael Garcia's a Michael Young type of hitter while having the ability to play above average shortstop, yeah, that's a guy that gets signed for more than $100 million. That guy gets a fat extension. Not a Bobby, well, not a Bobby extension, but not far from it. Because Michael Young, that's a 300 hitter. That's an 800 OPS. And then you put that dude at shortstop, that's a nine-figure deal. Thanks for the phone call, Kathy. Thanks for the text message. Keep those coming in, 913-586-7610. This one from the 913. Vern, how about the decision in the top of the seventh inning? I think Q deserves some respect. He could have left Lugo in, but he chose to go to the pitching matchup that he liked, pulled Lugo, brought in Zerpa for Andrew Benintendi, got out of the inning, and gave us a chance to run up the score. What a call from Q. Appreciate it. Yeah, Angel Zerpa needed two pitches to get Benny to fly out to Kyle Isbell, ending that threat. All right, man on second with two outs. And at that point, it's a 2-1 Royals lead. Yeah, big out from Angel Zerpa. And as you point out, got a little sideways after that. Eight runs come across to score, and it turns into a laugher. Royals win 10-1. They're now 3-4 on the young season. Brady Singer looks to get him to 500. Oh, man, would I feel good for him. Brady Singer, boy, oh, boy, he has worn it over the past few seasons. Shoot, he's worn it his entire career, if we're being honest. This guy hasn't played in a truly meaningful game. What, outside of after May, he's never been able to pitch in a meaningful game in the big leagues, you know, non-COVID year. You understand. 3 months into a season, how about that? Hasn't been able to pitch in a meaningful game 3 months into a big league season. I hope he's the one that leads this team back to 500. Singer squares off with Eric Fetty tomorrow, 6:40 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Here's the payoff pitch. Fastball crushed. Deep right center field. Fletcher's back. All the way to the fence. It's way out of here. Two-run homer, MJ Melendez. And the Royals are pouring it on in the bottom of the seventh. It's an eight-run inning. And it's 10-1 Royals.
421 feet.
on that blast off of the bat of MJ Melendez, his first of the season. Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. A lot of MJ love coming in on the text line from the 816. Vert, MJ is a baller. He is the real deal, smacking home runs like he's supposed to. Yeah, MJ's been everything you could have asked for offensively. Everything that I was hoping for. You knew in spring, my X, Y, and Z, my three guys, if they were able to meet or exceed expectations, I think this team's going to compete into September. Reagans, Singer, and MJ Melendez. Which, that alone is a reflection of just how much improvement talent-wise we've seen from last year to this year. Shoot. Just how much improvement talent-wise we've seen from the previous 5 years compared to this year. Previous 5 years, those guys that were vital to this team competing, with all due respect, hadn't done enough in the game to warrant that type of pressure. It was Lynch and Bubich and Mondesi and Kowar and, 2020 Brady Singer. Guys that didn't have any dirt in their cleats, I'm looking at saying, hey, if they can perform at a very high level, this team can compete. They never had a chance. But this year, Singer, shoot, we know how good Brady Singer is. He's put it together for a full year at the highest level. Back and look at his 2022. Cole Reagans, shoot. Cole Reagans was one of the five best pitchers in the sport in the second half last season. And MJ Melendez, you saw what he did in the second half last year, an OPS near 850. So now you have guys that have actually done something in the big leagues. Those are the guys that are going to swing the pendulum one way or the other. And so far, Reagans, nails, Singer, perfect, and MJ, smoking. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Text line, same number. More love for MJ. Raj in the Ozarks writing in. Vern, how about MJ? Worked so hard last year. Winter ball in the offseason. Looks like a boss out there, and I couldn't be happier for the young man. Yeah, you're a big fan. I know that. How can you not be a big fan? The kid's got it all. Athletic. Team player, right? This guy's been a catcher his entire life and takes on the challenge of trying to learn corner outfield at the big league level. It's difficult while struggling in the first half offensively. Yeah, very happy for MJ Melendez. You should be. From the 816, Vern, Bobby, and Mike Hell, and Nelson Velasquez. Man, these guys are all impressing me. And Vern, Kyle Isbell looks like he wants to stay. Yeah, Kyle Isbell again, defensively, man. He ran a long way in that eighth inning. That catch he made on Luis Robert's fly ball to deep right center field, 387 feet. Well, that's how far the ball went. That's not how far Kyle Isbell. He might as well have run 387 feet. He does a good job of making that cavernous center field look small. And then, yeah, if there's an offensive hero not named Nelson Velasquez tonight, it's Kyle Isbell. That two-run single going down, getting that changeup and lifting it over the second baseman's head into right field for a two-run knock. Put the Royals up 4-1, and they would leave that inning up 10-1. Boys now one game back of 500. 913-586-7610. More on Michael Garcia coming in on the text line. I asked you, what's his ceiling look like? What's your projection? Do you have a comparison? From the 816, Vern, Michael Garcia can be a faster moose or a slower cane. I don't think he has moose's power. You never know. Listen,
I can't stop underestimating Mikel Garcia. I don't want to because I like the young man so much. I like everything about him. The way that he talks about the game, the way that he thinks about the game. The way that he loves the game. The work that he puts in, not only in baseball, but you know, it's always so impressive to see these ball players that come from countries where they're not speaking English. And the work that they put in, especially when they really take pride in it like Mikel does, man, it's easy to root for him. And yet, I can't stop underestimating him. Last year, I'm like, yeah, he's a terrific defender, great athlete, but yeah, I don't think he's a difference maker. And maybe you could make the case that he wasn't a difference maker last year, but what he was last year was a guy that posted daily, played smart baseball daily, and to me, he was one of the three or four guys that actually passed the evaluation season. He was one of the first guys to pass the evaluation season last year. Vinny, Bobby, and then Mikel. MJ did eventually, but Mikel was there quick. Just a smart baseball player. Fun to watch. And again, I was on with Cody and Gold opening day, and they're like, hey, you think he can hit 20 home runs? I'm like, nah, that's not really his game. He's got 3 home runs in the first 7 games, well on his way to 20. So, Mikel, keep making me look stupid, man. I'm cool with it. From the 913, Vern, Mikel Garcia is Adalberto Mondesi. I don't know about that. I think, listen, Mondy couldn't stay healthy. And like I just mentioned, Mikel posts nightly. So give me Mikel Garcia all day long. But, well, you remember Mondy, switch hitting, as athletic as really anybody not named Bobby Witt Jr. Mondy was special, man. Mondy just couldn't stay on the field. It's too bad. Anthony in Blue Springs. Vern, I won't say that this is his ceiling, but I swear he has a game very similar to Lorenzo Cain. It's Anthony in Blue Springs. I think he's a better hitter than Lorenzo Cain, but I can understand how you see that. Because I can close my eyes right now and I see Lorenzo Cain hitting a hard line drive over the second baseman's head. I'll tell you this, if I'm a coach, I'm popping in a tape of Mikel Garcia before I'm popping in a tape of Lorenzo Cain of how to teach a young man how to swing. There's no wrong way to go about it. Everybody's different. But Mikel, man, that's beautiful. I mean, that is a beautiful swing. Level, controlled, composed. In the strike zone for a very long time. I understand how you can see that comparison and also the home runs, right? When Locaine would lean back on one, they weren't moonshots. Often they were those line drives over the left field wall just inside the pole. A lot like Mikel's on opening day, but shoot, look at his yesterday. You know, look at that opposite field home run he hit in last night's 7th inning. Going right center on a rainy night at Camden, that's big time stuff. 913-586-7610. From the 620, he's Alfonso Soriano at a corner spot. Another mention of Adalberto Mondesi from the 913. From the 816, how about a young Edgar Renteria? Same build, both defensive wizards, and they can flat out hit. Honestly, Renteria is what I envisioned. Well, not that name. I wasn't thinking that name, but that kind of a, you know, a doubles hitter, a gap-to-gap guy. I can't imagine Renteria ever hit 20 home runs in a season. I would say he probably was shy of 15. Yeah, Renteria hit more than 15 home runs once in his career, his age 23 season. You know, I you know, lifetime OPS of 741. I think Michael has a better bat. Again, that swing is. He's only going to get stronger, right? It's only going to get better. And I can't see that swing deteriorating or changing at all. A few more from the text line. This is from the 816. Vern, isn't this all we can ask for? Have the boys compete with the good teams and beat up the bad teams. I'm telling you, as a fan, I'm in to watch that every couple days. Every couple days? This is baseball. This is every day. We're playing tomorrow night. They're back at it Saturday night, Sunday afternoon in the finale. We have a Michael Massey bobblehead giveaway coming up for the Michael Wacha start on Saturday. No, not every couple days, man. And again, 610 Sports Radio. You can listen on your Alexa. You can listen on your phone. Just download the Odyssey app. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Double J in Kansas City. Double J, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Boone. Just want to call and say, what a game tonight. Great, great team win all around. Offense, defense, starting pitching. How about the bullpen rebounding from last night's loss? Just a great win tonight, though, all honesty. And Michael, I would compare him to Eske or Angel Barroa. And question for you, and I'll listen off air. And the question I have is, could you see us possibly moving Will Smith to a seventh or eighth inning guy once Carlos Hernandez gets back? And that's all I have. And I'll listen off air. Go Royals, and let's get the dub tomorrow. Brady Cena
yes,
on the bump. Let's go.
Looking forward to a Double J. Thanks for the phone call. He mentions Eske and Angel Barroa. From the 918, someone making a Frank White comparison. And I think Michael's a better hitter. Much better hitter. As far as your question, moving Will Smith when Carlos Hernandez returns. Now let me say this. You guys know how I felt about, well, some of you might not. Man, 2021, I thought Carlos Hernandez, I thought the combination of Carlos Hernandez and Daniel Lynch had the chance to take this team to the next level. Right, I was mentioning this a few moments ago, talking about those X, Y, and Z, the three players, if they can meet or exceed expectations, you can compete for a postseason spot. 2021, it was Daniel Lynch, Adalberto Mondesi, and Carlos Hernandez. I loved Carlos Hernandez. I had five pitches, a horse of a man, triple-digit fastball. Felt like he was leaning on you in the batter's box. So I understand the talent that is Carlos Hernandez, but man, he has been unable to handle expectations. Or maybe better put, he's been unable to deliver on those expectations. As a starter in 21, as a reliever over the past two seasons, he's had opportunities. The organization wants him to be that guy. How could you not? He's just not taking the bull by the horns, not getting the job done, not taking advantage of that opportunity. So, no, when he's healthy, I'm not giving him anything. Now you got to come back. You can work your way from the sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning. You can be a low-leverage guy. You can earn high leverage, and then you can earn, yeah, those final three outs. But it's going to take a few months before I get there with Carlos Hernandez, and I got to imagine it's going to take a few months before the organization gets there with Carlos Hernandez. Furthermore, get healthy. Go out on a rehab assignment and pitch well. Hernandez scheduled to throw a bullpen this weekend, hopefully getting close to a rehab assignment. Maybe you see him by May. And as far as moving Will Smith, yeah, of course you could. He could become another high leverage guy that you use in the seventh inning or the eighth inning, but didn't need to use a closer tonight now, did you? So I got no issue with you giving love to the bullpen. You know, Matt Sauer comes in with a 9-run lead and holds it right there in the eighth. Jordan Lyles does the same in the ninth inning. It's a different kind of pressure. Different kind of pressure than a one-run game, a tie game. You guys know how I think James MacArthur has the nastiest stuff in that bullpen, right? But Will Smith remains this team's closer. He has a save, and he has two blown saves. He's not given the job in perpetuity. This isn't his for the full 162. He's going to have to earn it as the season progresses, but you don't lose it six games into the season. Not when you play that role on this team. Not when you're the first free agent to sign, when you play a recruiter in the offseason, when you show up in spring training and take on that leadership role, guys rally behind you, young players lean on you, look to you for advice. Look at you to take their cues on how we act, how we handle defeat, how we handle failure, how we handle success, because this guy's won each of the last three World Series. A guy that means that to a clubhouse, you don't embarrass him. And to remove him from the closer's role, to verbalize any doubt this early in the season, I don't think it would affect Will. I think it would affect the clubhouse, because that would be a sign of panic. But he's got to perform. You know, I'm not, again, it's not his to do whatever he wants with it. That's not his role. You got to maintain it. He knows that better than anybody. But keep in mind, you know, Will Smith, 114 career saves, second most on the team. Seth Lugo was 16. Yeah, Nick Anderson has 9. John Schreiber has 9 saves. You don't have that big velocity guy that can make mistakes and get away with it. Now, Will Smith needs to be on his P's and Q's, changing eye level, hitting his spots, painting the black, great command. It's got to happen when you're 90, 91, 92. Carlos Hernandez, to your point, yeah, Carlos Hernandez has that triple-digit fastball that you can miss and get away with on occasion. On occasion being the key word. I don't care how great your stuff is, you still have to have some command. So if he can show that, Will Klein down in AAA, John McMillan down in AAA, if they can show that, they'll get an opportunity to get to the big leagues. Earn high leverage, and then maybe earn those final three outs. I understand Will Smith has disappointed some early on in this season. But to act as if what you're asking him to do can be done easily by someone else is silly. I was watching, the Detroit game. Detroit Mets. Detroit and the Mets going at it. Their closer coughed it up today, took a blown save. Yeah, it's going to happen, but I don't see anyone else banging down the door right now ready to take those final three outs from Will Smith. John Schreiber's been good, no doubt about it. Hasn't been extraordinary. Hasn't been, oh my God, I mean, what can you even say about that? Someone give this guy a closer's role. It's a shame that you're wasting John Schreiber in the seventh or the eighth. No, I'm not seeing that kind of stuff from him. James MacArthur, I think, has the best stuff out there, and I think his numbers are somewhat deceiving early on in the season. But he still has to go out there and put up some zeros before I'm going to start banging on the desk saying he needs to be the closer. And we got 155 games to go. I'm not really down with making bullpen changes or really any sort of big move until we get to May. certainly deeper than a week into the season. Adrian Beltre from the 702. Boy, see, Michael Garcia is a future Adrian Beltre. Whew, man. I'd love to get down with that, but I mean, Beltre was a star at what, like 19? Didn't he break in at 19 and hit the ground running? Michael's young. He ain't that young. Still very young. Beltre's a Hall of Famer for a reason. Appreciate the reaction, guys. Brady Singer, here we go, bud. It's up to you. You got a chance to get this team to 500. Brady Singer squares off with Eric Fetty. Game two comes your way Friday night. It's a 6:40 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30. If you ever miss the post-game show, don't worry about it, because you can podcast it. Just go to the Odyssey app, 610sports.com, just wherever you get podcasts, and search All Things Vern. Thanks to Julio Sanchez for the help back at the studio. Thanks to Nelson Velasquez for calling up. Way to go, Royals. 10-1 winners. Let's do it again tomorrow. Take care, Kansas City.
You've been listening to Vern's post-game show.
Blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone. Pasquantino.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
Deep left center, way back and gone. Another grand slam for Bobby Witt Jr.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.